Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 70 for November 1st, 2008, ESP. Jumping Monkeys is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/monkeys and by Go to My PC. Wherever you go, access your PC and all your files, programs, and email remotely with Go to My PC. For a free trial of this award-winning service, visit gotomypc.com/monkeys. It's time for Jumping Monkeys, the show about parenting in the digital age. I'm a parent, and she's a parent, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're all parents here.
We are, of different children.
Mm-hmm.
You have yours, I have mine.
Yes. How are you?
I am fine. And how are you?
I'm better now that I no longer have hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Did you get something from your children?
So my tongue hurt as soon as I got home from this cottage.
Last week. Well, don't blame the cottage.
My tongue really hurt. Have you ever had that?
No one here's tongue has hurt.
But here's the thing. The week before, Annabella had been complaining about her tongue hurting.
Was it swollen or anything?
It was swollen. It felt like I'd burned it or I had too much salt.
Oh, that's interesting.
And she had been complaining about the same thing the week before, and I thought she was just making it up and just complaining. I was just like, you're just being picky. She's like, I can't eat anything, and I couldn't eat anything.
Don't you feel guilty now?
Yes, I felt really guilty. So, yeah, I went to the doctor. He didn't really know what it was. He knew it was viral. It wasn't strep throat. And, I prefer to call it hand, foot, and mouth disease.
But it's just hurt tongue.
Hoof and mouth disease.
Just a burned tongue. Did you have any hot chocolate the day before?
No. It did not burn. And because the doctor looked at it, he saw the little papules. I always look up stuff on the internet, and then I tell the doctor, and they hate that.
I have papules.
No, there's one thing I found. Hairy tongue. Black hairy tongue.
I take it you didn't have that.
I didn't have that.
I'm so
but
glad.
The doctor, I was like, I think I have black hairy tongue. There is a thing. Look it up on Wikipedia.
They
it's
hate
like
that.
Little
doctors
black
hate that.
Papules, yeah.
It's like when you go into the mechanic and you say, I think it's a clutch problem.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear that.
They don't.
When people call me on the radio, I say, just tell me the symptoms, lady. I don't want to know what your diagnosis is.
Right, exactly. So today on the show, we're going to talk to Amy and Mark Vachon of a website called equallysharedparenting.com.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
This is an excellent idea. This is an
idea. She's attacking my privilege as a man to ignore my kids.
Yes, exactly. No. They talk about sharing childcare and breadwinning.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Is it different, though, than just, you know, both parents working?
Well, I think what has happened is, you know, now more women, I mean, women can work. We can do whatever we want. We can have kids and work and everything.
But
in many families, the amount of housework and play dates and doctor's appointments and all
it's
that.
It's still your job.
Yes.
Yeah. So the guy works and comes home and expects dinner, and you've been working all day.
Right.
And he says, to get the kids out of here, I'm trying to read the newspaper. It's not that bad.
Exactly. That's what you say.
But it's the idea. That's what I say. Honey, get the kids out of here. So we sent her to France, and it worked.
Yeah.
But you still have
one kid.
Well, we still have one kid.
Yeah.
Well.
So, yeah, and we're going to talk about some pacifiers that say stuff.
Well, let's do spend, save, give. And
do you want to already? You don't want to just...
Already.
All right. We could do spend, save, give.
I like doing spend, save,
first.
Give. Don't you
okay,
love spend,
I do.
Save, give?
Okay, we'll get right to the pacifier. You're never too young to text, Leo. These are lots to say, baby.com.
These are pacifiers that you could text from?
that would be great. No, but there's one. They have little funny sayings on them.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
One says TTYL and then ... much later. On the pacifier, so it's on the mouth.
Does TTYL stand for talk to you later?
You knew that, right?
I'm just, yeah, I knew that, yeah. TTYL.
Do you know what POS stands for?
Parents over the shoulder.
Oh, good.
Or could mean something else.
What?
You don't know?
No, I don't know.
Well, I'm never texting you. Yeah, I can't say it.
Okay.
But everybody else listening is going, come on, Megan, you know what we're talking about.
There's another pacifier that says volume control on it. These are really cute. They're about $6 each, so, you know.
What's volume control mean?
Like, it, you shove it in their mouth.
Oh, I get it.
You gotta conceptualize.
Oh,
here.
So the TTYL is talk to you. I get it. Is talk to you later.
Much later.
Because I've got something in my mouth.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I get
is
it.
Is that
now.
What POV?
POS. Parents over the shoulder would be my parents are over the shoulder.
Talk to you later because I have something in my mouth. That's what you would write on your pacifier.
Well, that's why I have a full keyboard on my phone. I'm not one of the young people that could type with a numeric keypad. I use English and I use punctuation and my kids mock me.
Right. So lots to say baby.com. Now on to the save. Here's a way to save money. $5 dinners at five with a number. $5dinners.com.
Do I have to eat at Denny's?
No, it's for cooking. But I have a confession.
Oh,
I don't cook.
You don't cook?
I don't cook.
Really?
I know. So when
don't
I'm,
you enjoy
when
cooking?
I do, but I just don't have the time. Like, that's, everyone always asks me, like, how do you do it? You know, your kids, you got a job, you got a podcast. And I just, that's what I've removed. Marco cooks.
Yeah, Marco's a great cook.
He is a great cook.
He actually auctioned off an Italian Thanksgiving at our school.
And they haven't taken him up on that.
Oh, really?
We were talking about that. Yeah.
They better hurry up.
Yeah.
I think that happens a lot with these auctions.
Right. They just want to show how much money they have, and they're not actually going to cash it in. That's fine.
Hey, if they don't cash it in, can I cash it in?
Yes.
I'll call them.
Okay.
I'd like a Thanksgiving. So this is fish and chips.
This is a way to cook dinner on $5. Now, I think, what do you think of the pictures on this website?
They don't look appetizing.
They don't. I think, you know, she needs a food stylist to help out.
It's very hard to take pictures of food that actually look good.
It is hard.
And these aren't. Oh, what is that?
But I think, other than the pictures, I like the idea of spending only $5 on dinner.
To feed a family?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and she has the recipe list and everything.
Wow, actually, I like that. If it's good food, and
it does look good.
By the way, it doesn't look like it's like a lot of Campbell's soup stuff or ramen.
Yeah, which is less than $5, but $5 nutritious meals.
My kids would eat ramen day and night. But you're right. She needs a food stylist.
But that would cost more than $5.
Yeah.
Okay, now on to the give. GirlsOnTheRun.org.
Girls,
have
on
you
the
heard
run.
Of this? Girls on the Run?
Is this a trick question?
It's an organization, a nonprofit that helps encourage kids to run, help develop self-respect and a healthy lifestyle.
They're not running away from home.
So you can donate to the organization now, or you can be a mentor and run with kids. You know, because it's like running is sort of a rich person's thing often. But
you mean running like jogging running?
Yeah, jogging, not running away from people.
Oh, that's
jogging.
Funny.
To encourage girls.
A nonprofit prevention program encouraging preteen girls to develop self-respect and healthy lifestyles to run. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. The self-respect is key. Look,
in just a bit, we're going to talk to our guests about equal parenting. But no, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. That's a good thing. That's a good
thing.
I know. I'm unreformed. But the Vachon, Mark and Amy Vachon will join us.
Talk about ESP.
ESP? Mm-hmm. I thought it was equal parenting.
Equally shared parenting.
Oh, ESP. I should have read your mind on that one. But right now, we want to remind you about our good friends at Audible.com. Audible is a place to go to get your audio books. So many great audio choices at Audible.com. 51,000 books. But we can get you started with one. I wish I could give you all 50,000. But one's a good start, just to see if you like it. Go to audible.com/monkeys and sign up today. You'll get a credit toward a free book. Listen, there are so many great books. Here, you know, we like to provide some good suggestions for you. And this, I don't know, I can't believe you've not recommended this before, is one of my all-time favorite books.
Well, I hadn't listened to it until recently. We were talking about Robert McCloskey once.
That's right.
And you said, Homer Price, that's the one about the donuts. And I said, no, that's the one about the blah, blah, blah. And you said, no, I think it's the one about the donuts. And so I had been thinking about that, and I saw it and downloaded it. And it is the one about the donuts.
Never second-guess me when it comes to junk food and snacking. The reason I remember it is the donut machine.
Yeah.
And Robert McCloskey's incredible illustrations of this book. Now, this is a full-size book. It's 2 hours and 21
minutes. It's like little short stories, basically. I mean, they have an overwriting theme, but it's kind of like the Beverly Cleary books, like the Henry Huggins. Like, each chapter can be, like, its own little story, but together. And it's great. Yeah, usually Robert McCloskey writes the shorter books, like Make Way for Ducklings, Blueberries for Sal.
I love
stuff. Yeah, these are, and it's just, it's so funny. And it's read by Mike Ferrari, who also read John Cheska's books.
Well, let's listen to a little bit. This is Robert McCloskey's Homer Price, our recommendation for the week, read by Mike Ferrari and from Audible.com.
When Homer isn't going to school or doing odd jobs or playing with other boys, he works on his hobby, which is building radios. He has a workshop in one corner of his room where he works in the evenings. Before going to bed at night, he usually goes down to the kitchen to have a glass of milk and cookies, because working on radios makes him hungry.
Oh, man.
Tabby, the family cat.
Oh, man. I'm going to download this. That sounds so good.
Does working on radios make you hungry?
Yes, for donuts. No, that's that. I
love
that.
You remember the donut machine? He has a donut machine. And then
that's what I can't forget. And, you know, this was when I was a kid. As a kid, it wasn't my reading it to our kids. It was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I think it made a big impression on me. I don't know why.
But you never read it to your kids?
You know, I don't think we did. This is the beauty of it. I mean, audible.com, I don't want to say you don't have to read to your kids, because you do. You still have to read to your kids. You want to read to your kids. It's the best thing. I wish I could still read to my kids. But there are times when they want to listen. Instead of sticking them in front of the TV, maybe you've got to do the dishes, do the laundry, or, you know, get some work done. Set them up with an Audible book. They will love it. You've never seen little bright-eyed kids listening so intently, especially with a book like this. Audible.com/monkeys. And we thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys. Look who's calling. It's Mark and Amy Vachon.
Of EquallySharedParenting.com?
Yes, they also equally sharing their Skype connection. Hey, Mark. Hey, Amy. Am I saying it right, or do you say Vachon?
Vachon is fine.
Yeah. Vachon is great.
Does that mean cow in French?
Yeah, cow pig.
Cow pig?
Vache and cochon.
Oh, it's mixed together. Vache is cow and couchon is pig.
Correct.
When you mix them together, it means cow pig.
Cow pig.
Is that your family crest?
I'm not sure. The joke did get used occasionally when I was a kid, but I don't know what it came.
Well, it's great to talk to you both. Thanks for joining us. And you are an inspiration for us all.
Aww.
Really?
That's nice to hear.
So how long have you been running EquallySharedParenting.com?
Gee, we're coming up on our second anniversary, actually, in a couple of days. Is that true, Mark? 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it a business or just a website? It's just a website, right?
We've made not a penny. Yeah. It's
right. The king of the nonprofits. Yeah.
People ask me that all the time. Is it a netcast or is it a business?
Yeah, except they don't have to pay each other.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right.
So what gave you the idea to start the site?
Do you want me to take this, Mark?
Go right ahead. We both have slightly different answers, but go ahead. You go first.
Yeah, I think we decided to start the website out of a little bit of frustration that there wasn't anything out there on the web that we could find that dealt with how two parents could share purposefully all aspects of running their family so that they could all get the best of all worlds. And I was reading tons of stuff on the web about women complaining about their lot in life, but not with the solution that their husbands could be equal partners. Mm. So that was my impetus. I had so much to say, and I thought the web would be such a nice way to and also to reach out to find other couples who do this.
It is a universal complaint, or one I hear anyway. Maybe I just hear it from my wife mostly. Come to think of it, that men just don't do as much around the house as they do.
Well, statistics bear that out, and I often say that men look pretty good when they compare themselves to their fathers, because the generations have changed, and men are doing a lot more these days.
Hey, at least I help out a little bit. I empty the trash once in a while. I don't beg for my slippers and pipe.
That's correct. We're moving in the right direction.
Did you come to this because you guys had that problem, or were you just naturally a hardworking homemaker, Mark?
Well, I actually came at this from a slightly different direction. I was living a pretty fun, single, balanced life and was enjoying myself tremendously and avoided getting married for the longest time. And I brought my desire for a balanced life into my relationship with Amy. So me trying to create that and having time for all different things in my life and Amy's desire to have an equal partnership kind of coalesced into equally shared parenting.
So do you think that has something to do with the fact that they are changing, like we're getting married later, and so that, you know, men are sort of used to taking care of themselves or not moving right out from being taken care of their mom to being taken care of by their wife?
Yeah, I think that could be a factor to some extent. Men certainly are capable of taking care of themselves, and I was certainly capable of taking care of myself. I told Amy very early on in our relationship that I wasn't looking for someone to iron my shirts and do my laundry. I was looking for someone to have fun with and enjoy my life with.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And
but it does happen when the kids come along for some reason that...
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yes. But this nice, balanced, equal relationship, but you're the mother. You're the biological caretaker. This is your job.
Yes, that's the trap many of us fall into.
Yeah.
And we're here to say that that doesn't have to be the case. It can be the case if that's the way the couple wishes it. And we're not going to say that the equally shared parenting way is the best way. But we are here to say that there's an option, that all that stuff is optional, that we can buck cultural standards.
It does, on the face of it, seem more fair.
Yep. That's definitely one piece of it that appeals to me, to women.
Amy, you were talking before about complaining, women complaining. Do you feel that sometimes women really enjoy being the sole caretaker and they don't allow men to sometimes take a bigger role?
Mm. Absolutely, in subtle and not so subtle ways. I think we all know the not so subtle ways, but I also think that we need to appreciate the ways that creep up on us where we take on the mothering role. We try to be the star in our children's lives.
Yeah.
Because we feel like that's our job, that's our right, that's our responsibility. And this is a whole outside-the-box way of thinking that, no, we share that. We share that all with our husbands.
That certainly happens when the kids first arrive. I think very commonly. It certainly happened to me where you feel like you're the father, but all of a sudden the mother and child have this bond. And mm-hmm. and very often, I think dads feel a little bit left out of that and go, oh, well, okay, you have fun. I'll just be over here in the corner.
And then it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it is a slippery, because once that starts, it's going to continue.
Exactly. The women take over. They get much better at taking care of the kids. Therefore, they're competent in all of those tasks. And men have to learn after a few months maternity leave in many cases. And then they always feel like they're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
And then the woman is correcting them and saying, you're not doing it right. And then that gives them no incentive to learn even more. So then they go off in diverging paths, and it's hard to bring them back together again.
I have to say that's really true. Even now, I have teenagers, 16 and 14. My wife
way ahead of us.
Hates going away. Well, here's what's on the roadmap. My wife hates going away because she'll come back and she'll say, you didn't feed him right, you didn't clothe him right, you didn't take care of him right. And I sometimes have to assert myself and say, well, okay, but that's how I do it. And you're not here. So at least when you're not here, I get to do it this way. And he's not covered in dirt, and he's not deathly ill. I mean, he survived.
He might have even had a better time for those few days.
Well, and that's another complaint, is that, oh, you're the fun guy, and now I have to come and be the serious parent here. But that's a whole other...
Well, this is the beauty of what we're proposing here. You get to learn from each other's actions and mistakes. And if Amy sees me being the fun parent, and I see her doing a lot of the work, we get to pay attention to how that dynamic is playing out. And Amy actually used those words to me a couple of years back with the kids, saying, it's so easy for you to be the fun parent because you don't see all the stuff that needs to get done.
Right.
So with us talking about that, I said, let me take on some of those tasks to free you up to be the fun parent occasionally. And then that brings Amy and I closer, and we can enjoy our time together instead of resenting what the other person is doing or not doing.
Do you both work full time?
No, we both work
reduced hours.
Oh,
yeah, about 30 hours.
That's one way of doing it, too, is...
That helps tremendously.
Yeah.
It's not a requirement, but it sure helps ease the pressure of getting everything into your life.
Yeah. It's hard in my case, because Jennifer was until recently a stay-at-home mom. And so I have a really good excuse. I've been working all day. You've been sitting around eating bonbons. You make dinner. And I've learned that's not such a good thing to say.
Probably not.
Yeah. She works pretty hard all day long, especially when the kids were little.
Right. And the division of labor obviously gets more complicated when you have the work life that is so different.
Right.
If she's home, it's much easier for her to throw a load of laundry in and get dinner ready. And
right.
She takes on, I'm sure, a lot of the household responsibilities as a result of that.
But she did, but making it fair is difficult, is tricky, you know?
Correct. And you can't, I don't think you can hope for equal housework when one of you is out earning the family's income and the other one's home with the kids. You've already decided that your life is not going to be equal in those aspects.
Right.
So the remaining aspects obviously take on different ways of doing things as well.
It is important, though, to respect what she's doing as hard, hard work. And I know when I've done it, I say, no, I'm going back to work because I can't take it here. It's too hard.
You are equals as human beings, absolutely, as contributors to your family.
So what are some, how would someone start introducing, how would a wife introduce this concept into the home? Let's start with that.
Well, I think without judgment would be my short answer, because I know that we are very strong believers that browbeating your husband into doing more is not going to do either of you any good. And in fact, the equally shared parenting couples that we know, and we're no exception, the man in the couple is 100% behind the concept. In fact, sometimes is the driver of the concept.
Oh, that's interesting. Huh.
Yes. And the reason for that is that he sees all the benefits for himself. And Mark can, you know, speak to that because he's a classic guy in this respect. But for a woman to bring it up and say, honey, I want this, I think she just has to do it by showing him or by letting him figure it out for himself. What's going to be so great about it for him?
Mm. So what is going to be so great about it?
Yes, it's not obvious.
It's not immediately apparent, but I'll grant it to you. But tell me.
Well, let's start with a small example. Let's say you have a random Tuesday coming up next week. And your kids are available to do something fun. And we say, would you rather go to work or would you rather hang out with your kids for a few hours in the afternoon and do something fun? Many people respond by saying, I would love to hang out with my kids. Right. I just don't have the time to do that.
Right.
So that's just a microcosm of where we're going with this. If you can choose to want to be with them more often, then you start thinking, how does work fit in my life here? Do I really need to be working 60 or 70 hours a week to pay the bills? Or can I scale back a little bit to free up the time in my life to enjoy other things? I kind of look at it as optimizing my life instead of maximizing my income.
How did you do that? Were you both working 30 hours when you started this, or was this part of the plan?
It's kind of changed over the years. I worked a few jobs that were reduced hours before I even met Amy. So I was having lots of fun and exploring other passions in my life and kind of brought that into the relationship. And then when the kids came along, we both negotiated reduced hours with our existing employees.
Oh, that's great.
I've actually got laid off from one job and had to go find another job, walking in the door asking for reduced hours. And it's difficult, but it's possible. And I think in this economy, I think employers are looking for reliable employees.
They may welcome
that. Work.
Yeah.
They welcome it because I'm willing to take the pay cut in exchange for the reduced hours.
Right.
Yeah, you might look actually good in that sense.
Yeah, I think I don't have good facts behind this, but I've heard a story of some place in Michigan, one of these auto plants was going to lay off a bunch of people. And they decided, instead of doing that, they decided to keep their workforce but scale them all back to 30 hours a week. I think all the people, instead of getting laid off, were like, this is pretty good. I can deal with this.
As long as you can afford to live.
Other things to do.
Right. Well, if you have one person staying at home, and then if you have two people working 30 hours a week, that's better than one person getting paid 40 hours a week.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, my husband took reduced hours. He's a teacher and is this year just decided that he was going to be working 3/4 time because it makes more sense for everyone. And I work too, and now he's home in the morning and it's so much nicer. And it's interesting because at his job, everyone thought that was so amazing.
He's lucky.
Well, you know, they all said that's so great. You want to spend more time with your kids. Yeah. But I know sometimes when women do that, they don't get the exact same same response. You know, they get
right.
Mommy track, typical.
Yeah, yeah. You don't ever hear like, oh, that's so great. You want to work part time so you can spend more time with your kids? You know, it's just like, how are you going to figure out how to do that?
Yeah.
Right. And when both people are on board to try to solve the problem this way, then it's kind of a magical thing happens where doors start opening and you can start making trade-offs where you want to spend your time. Because like you said, with two people working reduced hours, it's more than one of us staying home. We fall kind of right between the dual income couple and the single income couple.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of our finances fall right between those two typically.
Yeah. This actually sounds kind of idyllic. I think you make a good case when you say, well, you get more time with the kids. That's pretty good. I like that.
More time for yourself.
Do you?
More time for your own fun. Well, we feel that that's the case because you're splitting all the housework. You're splitting all the time with the children. You're splitting earning the money, and so you can hopefully reduce your hours a little bit or not work yourself to death. And then we also believe that because the whole goal of equally shared parenting is a balanced life for both partners, that you've got to also find a way to free each other so that you can go off and at least keep a passion or two for yourself so you stay an individual.
Hmm.
So that's been a big part of it for us.
Yeah.
And stereotypically, the woman, if she wants to go out to do something, she has to leave a long list of things to do for the husband. She's got to prepare meals ahead of time. She's got to do all the things that she's typically doing to keep the family moving. And now when you have two competent partners here who are capable of taking care of the kids on their own, preparing meals, doing whatever needs to be done, the woman in this case, in this example, can just go out and do her own thing. And vice versa. When she's out having a fun life and comes home rejuvenated, she's just as excited for her husband to go out and do the same thing.
That's
so now you have two partners who are really having a fun life, who like being around each other.
So what do you say to the people who say, you know, there's a reason that it worked so well, that sort of leave it to Beaver kind of father knows best thing worked so well for so long because, you know, it's nice for one person to be in charge of one realm and the other person to be in charge of it.
Yeah, they never show the fact that June was an alcoholic and eventually ran Ward out of the house. And I mean, that was a TV show. I don't know if it really was as idyllic as all of that.
Well, no.
Was she on Dr. Phil recently?
it wasn't idyllic, but there is something to be said about, you know, not having to constantly negotiate, well, whose responsibility is this and whose responsibility is this?
Do you guys do that? Or has it now become kind of internalized so it's just automatic?
It's 90%
a lot of it has
automatic.
Become internalized, yeah.
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 But there are definitely some, you know, communication issues that come up as a result of this lifestyle. Like you say, the leave it to Beaver is definitely simpler in terms of managing things. There is no household manager in our model. It's a team. It's like a board of directors as opposed to a president unilaterally making all the decisions.
Right.
So we have to bring things to the board. We have to discuss them. How are we going to handle this? Who's going to do what? And, you know, like I said before, when I was laid off a year and a half ago, it was much simpler to handle things like, you know, the kids have an early release day. You know, all of a sudden one of our kids was sick and we didn't have to scramble at the last minute to who was going to call in sick that day. So it's definitely simpler. Society is set up for the single income household with the person staying home. Even businesses want the ideal worker to be available 24 hours a day to work, to go on business trips, do all these kinds of things. And I think things are going to start changing because the younger generations, Gen X and Gen Y, almost universally state that they want a balanced life and an equal partnership with their mates. So I think as they start putting pressure on businesses for more flexibility, possibly reduced hours, compressed work week, all of these things that we hear about, I think society is going to start seeing that as a norm as opposed to the exception.
Yeah, I think more people can work at home. It's easier to do more jobs remotely, so people don't have to commute as much, and I think that'll change too. So what are your what are the pitfalls for people who are trying equally shared parenting for the first time?
The pitfalls. I think that for women, the biggest challenge is to let go. We talked a little bit about this before, but really, really, really let go from day one, if you can, or from it's best to start equally shared parenting when you first become parents. You can always do it later. But at any rate, right when you start, you got to really let go. You've got to let your husband do things his way. You can't remind him. You can't cover up for him. You can't try to get it to be your way instead of his way. And then when you don't like the way he's doing things enough, you got to bring it up for discussion so you come up with a joint way of doing something, not your way. And that's hard for women. That is very hard. It's hard for me. But, you know, I've got Mark to keep me on track here to remind me that, oh, Amy, get out of my way.
Orange stripes and green plaid just to see what she says.
I think it's creative. And that's what I do. And you know, Henry may not shower quite as often as when Jennifer's home. She doesn't like how boys smell. Doesn't bother me as much.
But teaching him to save water.
but you know, we've worked it out. But I do have to sometimes bristle and say, look, you know, I'm doing this my way. You know, if for instance, she's going away for a week next week, and she's already freaking out, saying he's not going to bathe, you're not going to dress him, he's not going to have lunch for school. I'm waiting for her to make six sack lunches, right, and put them, you know, and put them in the fridge. And I'm
right. So standing up for yourself is important.
Well, it's important for her too, because I don't want her to be worried about that, and I don't want her to make six sack lunches ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right. So it's trusting. Yeah. So the women have to trust that it's going to turn out okay. And when they can get past that, they can actually learn some things from their husbands. Yeah. Like maybe the fact that they didn't need to do all that extra
right.
work.
I think that's
maybe
true.
Maybe the fact that half the things they do to clean the house maybe don't even need to be cleaned.
We're fortunate because Jennifer and I are pretty much on the same wavelength about most of these things. Mm-hmm. So it's usually fairly minor. It would be tough, though, if you really didn't agree. You know, pizza for dinner every night is okay with me. Who needs salad? And, you know, that would be a big problem.
Right.
You
know?
Right. Then you have
these
to
these kinds
really
of things and others. Yeah. You have to bring it up to the board and say, how are we going to handle this? What does nutrition mean for this family?
Mm-hmm. You've got to clearly, and you guys obviously have it, you have to have good communication, good lines of communication before this is
going to
even
work. You have to enjoy solving things together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Won't work if you can't do that.
And then I was going to say for men, and Mark can speak to this, there's a whole cultural pitfall where you've got to get past all those barriers that, you know, we alluded to, where the man's workplace may think he's wimpy for taking paternity leave plus all of his vacation time to take, you know, a month off or to ask for reduced hours or, you know, to leave when his child calls out, you know, is sick or anything like that. He's got to go out there and do this stuff and do it proudly.
So how do you two avoid competing with each other on who does more?
Oh, what a problem that would be to have.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we've had that problem. Yeah.
Really?
I feel like I'm
constantly like, oh, you know, well, why don't, you know, I mean, we have a pretty equally shared life, but I always get back to the, like, he'll never have to carry twin boys that, you know, were 15 pounds.
So you just win. Just as clear, you've won. It's over for the rest of his life. You will never be able to meet that. Sorry, I did that. I'm sorry, I'm a superwoman.
Well, actually, a lot of the people who are naysayers about equally shared parenting and who want to find holes in the argument say that, oh, it's got to be just this nitpicky, tit-for-tat kind of lifestyle where you've got a big, huge spreadsheet on the kitchen wall of who's done how many dishes and stuff.
Oh, I would hope
stuff
not.
Stuff like that. And, you know, we are living examples, and everyone we know who does this are living examples of the fact that that is about the opposite of what happens. Yeah. it builds on itself. The morale of the team builds on itself. And you get into patterns. I mean, we know because of our work pattern that on Tuesdays, Mark's making dinner. On Wednesdays, I'm making dinner. It just kind of happens because of the way we've worked out our schedules. And then we kind of, you know, it takes a 5-minute conversation to come up with how we're going to put the children to bed. And then as they get to the next stage of life, okay, how are we going to do it now? But then we've got it set for a while and you can go about your business and do it. Like laundry, for example, we decided that I would do the white wash and he would do the dark wash.
That's a good idea.
which actually people make fun of, but makes a heck of a lot of sense.
I would do the whitewash because I all the colors would be all, everything would be pink. Yeah.
See that? You're same falling into that white trap of
no,
you can't
but it's
do
true
it.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Yes, well, yes, you have to say you can do it.
All right,
yes,
all right.
Yeah, see, so that's what I'm saying, that like at our house, I do all the laundry and Marco does all the dishes. And that's just, it's shocking to me that we have as much laundry as we do dishes, but we do. And so it's like, that's how we get around that. Because I think we feel like we need to have our own realm,
right,
you know.
Right.
And then you don't have to talk about it, right?
Right, and I don't care if there are dishes in the sink, and he doesn't care if the laundry never gets folded, you know. It's just...
That's right.
Exactly. You're making the perfect point. And for us, the laundry is, I can go about it anytime I want. If I want to let all my dark laundry load up until the weekend and then do 10 loads, fine. And she can do a load every day if she wants. But neither one of us have to nitpick and say, you're not doing it right.
And
right.
Amy, you don't get antsy when all the darks are loading up there?
Only when I don't have a pair of jeans.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a recipe for a little bit of, you know, but the truth is you guys must be very, very good at it because you're doing a blog. Not only was it enough that you would do it this way, but you're down co-authoring a blog together. So clearly you've mastered this.
Well, for now, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's always a work in progress. You know, I don't know, last summer it was we noticed we were going on vacation, and we got in the car and we took our automatic spots in the car. Mark drove, I sat in the passenger seat.
Well, that's the
and
way it's supposed to be.
Well, that's very interesting. You know, not
that's
that there's anything
wrong
with that. And then I packed. Mark said, honey, are the bags ready? And we thought, what the heck? You know, not that there's anything wrong with either of those things, but it's nice to observe them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The
yeah
next time we went on vacation, we thought, we're mixing this up. And it took all my power to not look in the suitcase to see if there was
wow, no kidding.
And I was pretty fidgety in the passenger seat,
no
actually.
No kidding.
It was good to pay attention to that.
Yeah. Yeah, we sit the guys in the front and the girls in the back. That's always that way.
What was really fun for us is my three-year-old at the time noticed immediately.
Oh.
I got in the passenger seat. He says, Daddy, what are you doing in mommy's seat?
See, that's another side benefit of this is you're role modeling for your kids equality, and that is really great because they're going to have a much easier time of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and we hope we're role modeling for them that life isn't drudgery, that you can have a balanced life as a grown-up.
I think that's a very good reason to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say, hey, look, this is how it's supposed to be. And it was hard because we had Leave It to Beaver, but you don't.
Right.
Right. You have other options.
You have other options. Hey,
there you go. Equally shit parenting the sitcom coming.
Yeah, there you go. Amy and Mark are looking for people who want to share their stories. You guys are going to do a book, huh?
Yes, we are. We
it's
are.
A great idea.
Got a contract with Division of Penguin.
So if people have been doing this and want to share their experiences, what's worked and what hasn't worked, they can email info@equallysharedparenting.com. And you're collecting stories from the real world.
Mm. Stories, good and bad, yes.
And the website is equallysharedparenting.com. Thanks, Amy and Mark, for coming on.
Thank you very much for having us.
Congratulations on having made this work. I think that's just fantastic.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for your time.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think you actually have more of an equal relationship than you pretend.
You think?
Yes. I mean,
I think you were
around a lot in the morning. I know we
When the kids were little, I was. When the kids were little, I was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think Jennifer's just a saint. She puts
That's
up with
true.
She puts
That's
up with
definitely
me.
True. Yes.
I mean, what has worked pretty well is, you know, I have been working, and she's been at home. That you know, and I admit I should do more when I get home around the house. But I think it kind of takes some of the sting out of it that I'm working, you know, long hours here and before that at Tech TV.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't really talk about that. How can you do it if one partner is staying home?
Yeah.
It's probably harder, but...
Well, she has always said, and I think this is good, she says, just... And this, you know what? She wants it from the kids, too, and that's the problem. It's not just me. She wants everybody to help her out. She doesn't want to be the one person doing housework.
She
shouldn't be. So she says...
Magdalena is the one person.
Right. Doing. Thank you, Magdalena. That's why it was my answer. We'll hire somebody. She said, I just want you all to do one thing every day. And so I'll do the dishes, or Henry will empty the dishwasher, or Abby will take out the trash. And that really does make her feel like she's not the only one trying to fight this endless battle.
Mm-hmm.
against chaos.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, it's really hard. And then you find yourself like being these equal partners, and that's not. I don't know. Then you get into this situation where like, are we just partners? Like, you
right.
know, we're like
yeah,
you have to remind yourself
too.
That it's fun to
it's
be
not an
a
enterprise.
Couple.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's. I'm not saying that that's how Amy and Mark are. But
no, it sounds like they're having a good time.
Yeah.
I have to say, as the kids get older, this is something you can look forward to. You do get to be more of a couple again. In fact, you know, with Abby gone in France and Henry's gone a lot, mm-hmm. we have a lot of evenings. It's just the two of us.
Right.
And, you know, it's taken a good 14 years to get to that point, but right. it's kind of nice to rediscover each
yeah.
other and actually have a relationship. And I think you have to, as when the kids are little, you do this, go out and dates and
we go out once
make
a week.
Some time mm-hmm. where it's just the two of you, because mm-hmm. otherwise it really is hard.
Yeah, it's hard, but my parents live here, so we don't have to pay a babysitter.
You are lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You are so lucky.
So,
oh, this ties in perfectly. Go to my PC. See, so let's say dad wants to come home early and spend some time with the kids, do some dishes, be around the house. But
or mom wants to come home early.
Mom says, oh, there's an email I'm waiting for at work. Or, I have to do these spreadsheets. Go to my PC, lets you come home early. Maybe even take a day off yourself. Take 20% of your work time off and get something done at home while the kids are napping or while the kids are at school. You can use Go to my PC to access your office PC, get work done. This is actually a tool that will really help you with equally shared parenting. Go to my PC is remote access, very fast, very easy. Don't worry, it's not hard to set up. You just it couldn't be simpler. You just a couple of clicks of the mouse. You can do it right now at your office. Go to mypc.com. In about 2 minutes, it'll be installed on your office PC. Now, here's the beauty: you go home and you go to mypc.com. You log in with your secure username and password. You could do this from a Mac or a PC. And there all of a sudden is your office computer. So you can send and receive email. You can run programs. You can get work done, even though you're not at work. You're home helping out. PC World gave it their world-class award for best remote access software. If you've tried remote access software before and you're thinking, I don't know, this is it. Trust me, this is the one. In fact, I'm so confident that you're going to love GoToMyPC. I've arranged for a 30-day free trial. You go to gotomypc.com/monkeys. And you get it for free for 30 days. Set it up right now and go home early. Go to mypc.com/monkeys. Try it free, unlimited free use for the next 30 days. You'll see 101 ways you can use it. If you travel, you can use it on the road. You can use it at an internet cafe, at the pool, taking care of the kids. You could use it at Gymboree. Nowadays, they have Wi-Fi at all these playdate places. Go to mypc.com/monkeys. Give it a try. Let us know what you think. We thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys.
I have some more links.
Links. You always got links. You got links galore. All right, more links.
Dadomatic.com.
Is it an automatic dad?
Automatic dad. When you don't feel like going home, Leo, you go, no.
Honey, call Dadom. You know, she did used to call this guy called Rent-A-Husband.
Oh, was it for like... Was that for like plumbing and stuff?
I don't know. I never did find
stuff.
Out exactly what he did. But she always was happy afterwards.
I've seen ads for Rent-A-Husband.
Yeah, no, he comes over and he does all the housework that I don't want to do.
The housework.
No. It's like a handyman. He's a handyman.
So do you know Chris Brogan? He founded PodCamp.
Oh, yeah. Chris and I are Twitter buds.
You're Twitter buds. Well, he hasn't told you about Dadomatic yet?
Hell no.
Dadomatic is his site. It's a forum it's just like basically a lot of daddy blogs together in one place. Just dads.
Smart.
All dads, all the time.
Is Chris Brogan a dad?
I would assume that he is a dad.
You wouldn't do this if you weren't a dad.
I don't know. I mean, I wondered that for a second, because, I mean, he's in marketing, so maybe he just thinks dads are the next place to be. But I'm pretty sure, I would assume he's a dad.
Yeah, he says, as a geek and a dad, my primary website is built to educate people about technology and practices around it. I needed a place for us just to be dad, so I built Dad-O-Matic. That is very cool.
Yeah,
look at all the authors.
Yeah, lots.
This is like everybody.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Every dad.
Every
in the
dad
world.
In the world is on. No, but there's two dozen.
Yeah. So, check it out, dadomatic.com. Denise, our friend Denise Howell, sent me that.
And Chris Brogan's a great guy. He's a longtime marketer, co-founder of PodCamp. Really smart guy. And that's neat. That's really cool that he's doing that.
So did you see this Wired magazine articles about article about bloggers, how bloggers should pull the plug on their blogs.
What?
I know. It says the blog is dead.
Nah, yeah, right. What's,
it says,
what's next?
Twitter, Facebook, Flickr.
Oh, you know, in a way, I kind of feel that way. I don't blog nearly as much because I Twitter so much.
I do, and I don't blog nearly as much because I just post show notes for the show and do this, right. And it's just kind of taken up my time. And what, I can't remember who wrote this article. I have the link, but what he
Paul
says.
Paul Boutin.
Paul Boutin. He says that you just can't compete anymore with with the huge, like, you know, like a Huffington Post and places like Datomatic, where there's like all these bloggers together, you know, as opposed to just your own personal blog. What he says, it's interesting because he talks about how, you know, back in the old days, he used to type, I can't remember, I don't know what's the name of it, the name he used, but you used to be able to type Megan into Google and I would be the first results.
Right.
Like, because I had so many links back from my blog,
right.
And it just wasn't, you know, blogs showed up so fast.
Right.
You know, you can still type Chris and Chris Perillo is still the first result. How does he do that?
He
works at it. That's his full-time job.
Yeah,
trying to get
cranks out more content.
Yeah.
Than any human alive. And I guess there's nobody else compelling. If you type Leo, unfortunately there are two things ahead of me. There's a,
the actual Leo.
No, I am the actual Leo. There's the Leo
Pisces.
Online dictionary.
I am the actual Leo.
Then there's the Leo astrology. Then there's me.
But like the Chris Matthew doesn't show up before
Leo
Chris Chris Perillo.
Yeah,
you know,
you'd think
Chris,
some other famous. Well, how long
I don't
is that
know,
gonna
Chris
last?
Chris Kringle.
So there's a some magazine now called Leo Weekly. It's Louisville News, and it's ahead of me. I don't like
But anyway,
that.
Not to digress. But I thought that was interesting because I just really don't blog anymore. It just doesn't. I don't know because I think you know, with Facebook, people are that's where people are spending a lot
of
their time.
I guess the question is why you blogged in the first place,
right?
And if it was to make a business out of it or to get attention, he's got a point. That's probably not as effective as it used to be because the competition's gotten murderous.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did it for yourself because you like to write, that's why you started Jumping Monkeys. You enjoyed writing.
No, you know,
writing,
the reason that I started it was I think about this a lot. Why did I start it? And I think it was just because I was talking about it on the show and it was something
that...
So you
felt like you had to.
Well, I started it because it was something interesting to me, like, oh, look at this new technology, a blog, and I can post something every day. And I think, like, at this point in my life, I wouldn't have just said, oh, I think I want to blog. If I'd never heard of it until now and I saw what it was, I don't think I would just start blogging.
Right.
I don't. But now it's just like once you get, you just sort of get addicted to
it. It's an interesting point. I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about podcasting, that the big networks like Twit, and NPR would push out an individual podcaster.
Yeah.
But I would hate to think that people would stop doing the creative writing and stuff. I mean, if you're not having fun at it, don't do it.
Well, that's the other thing.
If you found
like
other
if,
outlets, if, as many of us have.
But if Twitter is replacing blogs, it just means people are like writing less
short.
And, you know, not the short form. I think it's like, this is a lot about Jason Calacana stopping his blog and... You know, that kind of thing. I think that's
well,
that
Jason
trend.
Has other more, much more elaborate reasons. I don't think that that's a good example.
What are his reasons? Because he wanted to talk to a smaller
mostly,
audience or the people
no,
were being rude and
people were being mostly
yeah, that's what
the comments.
Yeah, that's what they say in this article.
Mostly
too.
It's just he decided he wanted to have a more controlled conversation.
Right.
He couldn't take the heat.
Yeah.
You know, but look at what we do. I mean, everything we do, people are commenting it in real time constantly.
Right. And I think this
I don't
is
think
a little.
Jason is ready for that.
This is a little more interesting to me than just writing a blog now, like doing a podcast, I think. And that's what this article says, too. Now, it's easier to put video, audio, and other things on the web. So, I don't know.
It's a thought-provoking point of
mm-hmm.
view. And I'm
mm-hmm.
not sure I agree with him, but I'm not sure I disagree with him either. And I'm certainly an example. Because I hardly blog at all anymore. But
yeah,
I was
don't.
Never a big blogger to begin with. I would
no.
put stuff up when I had something to say.
Right. All right. It's time for listener feedback.
Is it that time?
It's
I have
that
lots
time.
Of listener feedback for you. You want to read something while I pull up our
sure.
Grand Central mailbox? Just a quick reminder that if you do want to call us, we have a phone number. It's not a toll-free number, but you're welcome to call us. It is 707- 981-4602, and we'll go to our Grand Central number. But maybe the easiest way that is toll-free is to use the web button at jumpingmonkeys.com. Press that button, and Grand Central will call you after you enter in your phone number. They don't save your phone number. Your privacy is guaranteed, but they do call you so that you don't have to pay for the call. What do you got?
I got an email from Dee Dee. Dee Dee called in on our number a few weeks ago, and she sent and she talked about a bunch of homeschooling links.
Yes.
She sent me all of the links with the little commentary, so I'll post that in the show notes for this week.
Right.
She also writes one comment regarding state testing. If we start requiring homeschoolers to take the state tests, we're implying that the tests have positive effects and results. This graph, that there's a graph in Wikipedia, explains that having a low teacher-child ratio, like 1-to-1 or 1-to-6, with a teacher who loves their students so much, they'll work for free, works better.
I'm desperately looking for some way to get Henry to get excited about school again. He's just become really alienated from school and hates it so much. He doesn't even want to come in. Yeah. And I think, you know, the middle school is a big old warehouse. The classes are gigantic. Teachers are burned out, as anybody would be if they're taking care of 12 and 13 year olds. And I just think that he's not getting much attention or much in the way of inspiration. So we just have to make it to high school, I guess.
Yeah.
One more year.
Everybody hates middle school.
I hated it.
Yeah.
It's normal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's normal. All right. Carlos from South Texas writes, I was listening to episode 63 of Jumping Monkeys.
Yes.
I can relate with the fact that academics is very much a primary focus, even at the pre-K level. I'm a special education teacher and work with students from 3 to 5 years old. I don't feel that teaching academics early is such a bad thing, especially if the teacher can make it fun. A lot of the teaching I do with toys the students play with and songs that they love. The kids look forward to and request songs on a daily basis. Part of the reason in special ed students can start at 3 years old is to give them a head start in their academics, self-help, and other skills so that some children can hopefully be able to participate at a grade level with other students, not in a PPCD unit. I work closely with general ed kinder and pre-K teachers, and even though they do academics, I don't see most kids bummed out about being in class. It's usually a pretty fun environment and not a whole lot of direct one-on-one instruction. So I think that's interesting. I mean, because we talk a lot about how, kids, you know, have homework too early. And I don't think that it's too early for kids to go to school, especially when you're talking about songs and games and stuff. I think if you have them sitting at a desk too early and doing homework and doing, then that's what we are criticizing.
Exactly. But, you know, we all have to compete nowadays, and it's a tough world out there, and the economy the way it is. I think I can understand why people would say, let's get our kids ready for the next century.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, this century. Kind of like the next century. Another call?
Sure.
Web Button Lee, go right ahead. You're next on Jumping Monkeys.
Hey, lawyers. Hi, my name is Lee. I'm from Chicago. I've emailed Megan before, and I felt guilty for not phoning it in, so I'm phoning it in this time.
Aw.
My recommendation this week is a good give recommendation. It is Costume Studio.
Oh, we listened to this one, all right?
I'm not deleting them fast enough,
No, you're not.
I will get these
Okay, here's an email from John Flad. He says, the subject line was, my totally unauthorized use of your stuff. Which, of course, got me to open it.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me that I owe you an apology. I write a very small tech blog for teachers, mostly for the teachers in my own building, that tries to explain in very simple terms how to use different applications in the classroom. In the past, I've recorded segments of Jumping Monkeys and posted them for download on the site to explain different topics. I've included some of the archivist Allison stuff and the interviews on sleep deprivation and lying. I've always given them attribution, but it just occurred to me that I've never asked you or Leo for permission to do it. I think that's okay. Isn't that in our license?
Our license, just so you know, is for non-commercial use only. So you have to ask permission if you're going to make money off of us. We call it non-commercial. It's a Creative Commons license. You'll find it at the bottom of the page at twit.tv. Non-commercial attribution, which means you have to give us credit, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
Share alike, which means that anything you produce using content from our show, you need to produce in the same way we do, which is sharing it with others in the same way.
That's what he's doing. And there's no ads on his
site. Absolutely fine.
John,
you don't
even
have to ask permission if you're going to use our license. Just use our license. That's fine with us. You want to try another one?
Let's try one more, and then let's go home and be with our family.
You want to go to Missouri? Maiden or Malden? Malden, Missouri. Go ahead.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Sam in Missouri. I was just listening to the baby name episode. You guys were talking about the truck videos at the end of the show. there is a little boy in a preschool here in our town that loves to watch auctioneer videos. That's
kind of
funny. Thanks. Bye.
He's going to be an auctioneer.
That is pretty funny.
Sold American. I love auctioneer videos. No, I didn't even know you can get auctioneer videos.
Yeah, that's the kind of call I like. Just the weird, bizarre, the bizarrest kid in your town.
Call us. Call. There's the number 707-981-4602, or you could just go to the web button at jumpingmonkeys.com. We love to hear from you. You can also email Megan at twit.tv, and you can record something and send it to her, because she'll listen to it that way ahead of time, and then we won't be surprised. Or send pictures, ideas, themes, requests to be on the show.
Yeah.
Megan at twit.tv. Are you making dinner tonight? No.
No.
Are you washing dishes tonight?
Marco's making dinner this afternoon tonight because he did not work. You know, he got off work at like noon today.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
And I'm still not off work.
This isn't work. This is fun and games. Yeah, I have a lot of work to do, too. I'm supposed to go home. We were going to have a barbecue today.
Yeah, but, what happened with that?
Randall broke his arm, and he couldn't do it, I'm sorry to say. So
yeah, that's why I'm not cooking tonight. I was expecting steak.
You were
steak.
Having steak here.
Yeah.
Oops, I should have told you. Well, thank you all for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
On Jumping Monkeys.